The Bible reading this morning can be found in the book of Romans, chapter 14, verses 1 to 4, and this can be found on page 1140 of the Church Bibles. Accept him whose faith is weak, without passing judgment on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man, whose faith is weak, eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not, and the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. Amen.
There are many words in the Bible. There are many meanings as well. But two words in particular occur. They are weak and strong. Put them in a context of Romans chapter 14, the letter written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Rome. But more than that, written to people who faced real challenge and real issue in their time. But things perhaps that we find difficult to understand. If you were a Christian in the church in Rome at that time, in that culture, one of your biggest concerns, if you'd become a Christian from someone who'd once... I'm getting mixed up here. If you'd become a Christian from someone who once sacrificed to idols, your concern would be if you bought meat in the marketplace and ate it, had it been used in the temple, because you would not want to defile yourself. That was a major issue that vexed and troubled many Christians. Why? Because they wanted to remain as pure as they could. Why? Because they believed that was important in their relationship with God. Another issue of that time was keeping a Sabbath day holy. And that is important too. But the main issue was meat that was once used in the temple worship as a sacrifice to idols. The Apostle Paul is known for being very firm and very definite on many things. He gave particular guidance to all manner of early churches that arose. But in this instance, he takes a relaxed view. In other words, he says to the Christians, don't worry about this issue. Don't trouble yourself. Don't torture yourself over it. Why? Because God is able to accept you as you are. And that side issue of what you might eat or not, it doesn't matter. And there's a message for us as Christians today, because we trouble ourselves, we vex ourselves, and we torture ourselves at times over whatever, all manner of things. But perhaps God is saying, don't. Don't. You're accepted. You're forgiven. You're fathered by the true and perfect love. And with that comes freedom. And with that comes opportunity to be yourself, to be the person that God has called you to be truly and completely. The kind of person who's free to share what God has done, not to be held back, not to be troubled. And so when we read of Romans 14 and we take a step into a different culture and a different time, remember that there are things that sometimes trouble us, sometimes torture us, because we seek to follow Jesus. And he says, you're accepted, you're forgiven, you're fathered by the true and perfect love. You may still feel weak at times, There will be other times when you feel strong, but Jesus remains the same. Whatever those words might mean to you, even the mixed up bits as well, take it, receive it, and live it out in your life as a Christian. Paul is a Christian, and for a time I knew him well. His was and is a strong faith, but in an understated way. Of course, strength can be evidenced in different ways. And when it comes to faith, it can involve personality, awareness, knowledge, communication, and action. But there's more to being a Christian than that. Take Paul, for instance. On one occasion, I recall a conversation he had with a new guest on an Alpha course. Paul was unknown to the guest, and in the course of conversation, they asked what he did. His reply was simply that he worked for Crawford's, and nothing more was said. Now, that could mean anything, but first of all, you're wondering about the name Crawford's. Let me explain. Based in Edinburgh, Crawford's was once the biggest bakery, with shops all over. For comparison, think of Greggs nowadays. Which takes me back to Paul and what he did. He could have been a baker. He could have been one of the delivery drivers. He could have been a shop assistant. He could have fulfilled any number of roles. But instead, he was the managing director. And what's more, he didn't need to say so. Even more than that, he chose not to say. It would have been easy to impress. It would have been tempting to mention. But by not doing so, Paul said more about himself. And by not doing so, he said much more about his Christian faith. Much more about his relationship with God. A relationship which recognized the difference between strength and weakness. But which didn't seek to exploit the difference. That took place a long time ago, but Paul's example remains. I think about it often, as with other similar people I've met from time to time. And as I do, I realize that the more faith grows, the greater the humility. The stronger faith becomes, the less likelihood of pride. And the greater faith is practiced, the more consideration for others there will be. All of that reminds me of another Paul, this time the Apostle. Often his words are challenging, thought-provoking and inspiring. Controversy surrounds sometimes the meaning of what he said as well as its interpretation, none more so than Romans chapter 14. For this is where we are transported back to a different culture, all with the issues and controversies of that day. And it was those issues and controversies which divided opinion. Yet Paul took a different view. And that viewpoint can help us today. For there can be differences of opinion over all manner of things Christian. And that viewpoint can help the church of today. for differences of opinion still remain. And all of it is understandable, if not defensible. But what the Paul I knew and the Paul I've come to know would say is, look beyond the issue, whatever it might be. If not, then disruption will come sooner, if not later. Instead, what Paul and Paul would say is, look to the person, see them and understand them as part of creation. Someone who is fearfully and wonderfully made, even if they don't yet understand it. See them as part of God's redemption, for he can be at work within them. It's he who loves them, first and foremost, after all. As who they are becomes more important than what they do or do not. Then, instead, what Paul and Paul would say is, look to God. Look in his direction first, for he is the starting point. He is the instigator. It's he who brought us into being, and it's he who brings salvation's plan to bear. It's he who has a plan for each one and for each one of us. It's he who is at work in all who believe and in all who come to believe, day by day, week by week, month by month, and year by year. Recognize that, and you've recognized his lordship. Understand that, and you'll understand his kingdom being outworked in this world. Accept that, and you'll accept that his ways are not often like our own. All of that changes attitudes. It changes enforcers into enablers. And it's those two words, that description, which sums up just how important Paul's message was. Clearly, meat sacrificed to idols is not necessarily the issue of our day. But whatever the issues Christians face, and there are many, or whatever the church at large considers, and there is much, the Christian response is to be an enabler rather than an enforcer. And so the onus is on those who, for whatever reason, believe they are strong. Perhaps through experience. Perhaps through theology, perhaps through tradition, to accept a different perspective and to take a different approach, being more open-minded about other possibilities, being more even-handed with people. After all, the context for both Pauls was that of evangelism. In both cases, the church was growing. But that involved acceptance and nurture. It required toleration and mutual respect, as well as a realization of God's acceptance at work within. For the response of both Pauls is a reminder that we each have a witness, that the church also has a witness to fulfill, that its primary purpose is to go and then to grow, and that this brings with it a certain kind of approach and attitude, one which promotes unity over the essentials of the faith, but one which allows for liberty of opinion in those things which are not essential, whilst in everything else, the love which comes from God must be the overriding factor. All of that puts a different emphasis on faith. Yes, we believe, and we must believe, based firmly on Jesus Christ. And yes, we grow in faith based firmly on Jesus Christ. But the crux of the matter isn't so much about what we believe, rather what we do with our belief. For each one of us is called to something greater than ourselves. This isn't just our faith, whatever that means. Instead, it's faith designed for others. A faith designed for all. One which takes account of the other. One which respects them, welcomes them, helps them, encourages them, and ultimately blesses them. That's for you and me to do, day by day, week by week, month by month, and year by year. It's what I call Paul's Christianity. And it works. Let us pray. Lord, enable us to look around and not just within. Help us to look to you and at the same time look in the direction of others. Then ensure that the faith that we found can be the faith which all can know. For this is our prayer, spoken in Jesus' name. Amen.